Thursday, we started discussing the famous minig Reb Chaim had as to how to be mekayim the concept of hidden mitzvah by Dalad Minim. They say, this is brought down in Ritzi Pesach Frank's Sefer Mikroi Kodesh, they tell over that when they brought Reb Chaim different esrogim to be yotze the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, so he was always knowing to take the esrog mehuda first, even though what often happens invariably is that the esrog mehuda was only sofek kosher. It wasn't Esrog, it was Vade Kosher, but it's so nice. So they brought Reb Chaim and Esrog Mehuda too, but it was only Safek Kosher. Reb Chaim used to take that Esrog Mehuda first and then take the Esrog that's Vade Kosher. Why? Because he felt that if he would have taken the Esrog that's Vade Kosher, then he'd be Yotze the Mitzvah. And once he's Yotze the Mitzvah of Dalamidim, then he can't be Yotze Hidden Mitzvah. Because as his father, the Beis Halevi, writes in the Tshuva, Hidden Mitzvah, Lo Mitzvah, Lo Shaman. You don't have Hidden Mitzvah outside the context of the Mitzvah, disconnected from the Gufa Mitzvah. So once he was Yotze the Gufa Mitzvah with the Esrog that's Vade Kosher, then he felt he couldn't be Yotze the Hidden Mitzvah. We pointed out that the Ksav Sofer and the Chasam Sofer disagreed. There's an Eidus that's brought that the Chasam Sofer and his son the Ksav Sofer both felt that you should do the opposite, that better to take the Esrog that's Vade Kosher and then take the Esrog that's Mehudar afterwards. We see two things from the minig of the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer. First of all, they weren't bothered by this idea of Hidden Mitzvah Lo Mitzvah Lo Shaman. They apparently felt that even if you'll do the Hidden Mitzvah later, you can be Yotze the concept of Hidden Mitzvah. But more than that, they felt that it was better to do it in the opposite way. Because if they felt that it wasn't better to do it in the opposite way, to take the Esrog that's Vade Kosher first, so then what's the big deal? Better to do the Hidden Mitzvah first, so why dafka take the Esrog that's Vade Kosher? Apparently they felt there was a reason to take the Esrog that's Vade Kosher first, and then to be Yotze the Hidden Mitzvah. So last time we explained the second part, right? Why they felt that you could do the Hidden Mitzvah later. So we pointed out the Bris Kirov already suggests that maybe there's a machlokes we've shown in whether we can find Hidden Mitzvah outside the context of the Mitzvah. Nafkamina, Brismila, can you be chosef et tzitzin she'ein ma'akana samila? Even b'chol, right? You're not doing a Brismila on Shabbos, but is there any point to be chosef for the tzitzin that are not ma'akana samila after kfar piresh v'silek yada? Once you stop doing the bris, you cut off the arla, and you stop doing the bris, so now can you go back? Is there any inyan to go back to the tzitzin she'ein ma'akana? So the Biskarov wanted to say, it's a machlokes rishonim, and it's dependent on this issue. That according to the Rambam, there is no point, because the Rambam holds hidden mitzvah outside the context of a mitzvah is gornish. So once silek as yado, you finish the ikka mitzvah, then there's no point to go back for the hidden mitzvah. And Rashi and the Tur and the Ramah perhaps, they all disagree. The Biskarov explained that they hold that you can have a hidden mitzvah outside the context of the ikka mitzvah. So even though Piresh for silek yado, and he's finished with the ikka mitzvah, you can still go back for the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, but talking b'chol, you can still go back for the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin. There is an inyan. It's not that it's usur to go back, but the question is there an inyan? So they claim, the Rashi and the Torah claim, that there is an inyan to go back to do the Hidden Mitzvah, even if you've already completed the Gufa Mitzvah. Because they hold, as the Bris Kirov explained, that you can't have a Hidden Mitzvah outside the context of the Mitzvah. We said that the Beis Halevi himself was not willing to go that far, because he holds this Yisod, that everyone agrees that you can't have a Hidden Mitzvah disconnected from the Gufa Mitzvah. So he reinterprets Rashi and the Torah. They're arguing about something else, not about Hidden Mitzvah, because he was so convinced of this idea. So convinced of this idea. And that's why he says he had that suffix. Beis Halevi had a suffix. Let's say a person already took the Dalet Minim, and then they bring him the set that's more Mehuda. They bring him an Esrog Mehuda later. So the Beis Halevi said, I'm Me'olam Nistapakti. I didn't know what's the din. Is there any point? And he says, I think there is no point. Because no one says that you could have a Hidden Mitzvah outside the context of the Ikka Mitzvah. No one. His grandson, the Brisky Rav, thought that maybe it's Machlokes Rishon, but he was so convinced that he had to reinterpret that Machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam by Mila, because he felt it's just impossible. You can't have Hidden Mitzvah outside the context of the Mitzvah. So he said that's the Vart Reb Chaim was alluding to. Reb Chaim felt that you had to take the Esrog Mehuda first, because if you would be Yotze the Mitzvah with the Vade Kosher, then there is no point. There is no point to take the Esrog Mehuda because you're not going to accomplish anything. There is no Hidden Mitzvah outside the context of the Ikka Mitzvah. What did the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer feel? So, initially we said maybe they're going with the Bris Kirov's Rashi, the other pshat, that maybe you can have Hidden Mitzvah disconnected from the Gufa Mitzvah. But we then pointed out that that's difficult. In this context, that's a little difficult. The Pri Yitzchak, Itzel Peterburger, already points out that Lulav is really different than any other Mitzvah. Because here, the second esrog, when you pick up the second esrog, you're doing a different maisa. There's no connection between the first esrog and this and the second esrog. It's the same mitzvah, but it's a different maisa mitzvah completely. By bris milah, no matter how you slice it, if you're part of the pun, right? Right? Rashi, the Rambam, the fact is, it's the same mokom hamila. It's the same milah. So even if you say that kfar pirish v'silek yodo, it's a different maisa mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah that's embellishing the milah. There is something connected to the first mitzvah. But here, there's nothing connected. The second esrog, you pick up the second esrog, what does that have to do with the first esrog? Frek the pri yitzchak l'chora. Everyone should say that there's no value to doing the hidden mitzvah after you finish the guf mitzvah. Meaning, after you've taken the esrog of tzadei kasha, taking the second esrog is ridiculous. Well, what's the point? How can it embellish the first mitzvah mitzvah? The first mitzvah mitzvah involved other minim. Okay, it's the same lula, but the second esrog is totally different than the first esrog. So how can the Chasam Sofer and the Ksav Sofer say that you can take the first esrog, that's Vade Kosher, and then take the esrog, that's Mahuda later? Does that make any sense? What's the connection between that hider and the Guf HaMitzvah B'chlam? So we suggest that the Chasam Sofer holds that the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav is different. That every time that you pick up a lulav and esrog during the day, you can have another kiyum mitzvah. No one is saying that the picking up the second esrog is going to be connected to the first netila. No, the first netila is over. But you can be yotzei again. You can have a new ma'aseh mitzvah. And you can have a hider in that ma'aseh mitzvah. Even if you don't have a hider in the first ma'aseh mitzvah, you'll have a hider in the second ma'aseh mitzvah. And you'll fulfill the mitzvah, the concept of hider mitzvah by Dalaminim, with a hider in the second ma'aseh. Aye, but it's not connected to the first? No, but he holds that you can have multiple ma'aseh mitzvah of netilas lulav in one day. That's the yisod of the Chasam Sofer. That's why he felt, even if the hidden mitzvah is not going to be connected to your first ma'aseh, it doesn't matter, because it's connected to the second ma'aseh. Ah, but there's no significance to the second ma'aseh. No, there is. Because even if you were yotzeh, the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, with the first netilah, you can have another mitzvah of Dalad Minim with the second netilah, and the hidder is going to be in that second netilah. Who made reference to this idea? So this is a whole discussion in the Bikur Yaakov. We didn't get to it on Thursday. But this is the elaboration of this point. The Bikur Yaakov quotes a Shuas Yaakov who discusses, right, many different Yaakovs getting involved over here. Right, the Shuas Yaakov has a tshuva where he talks about another related question. Reb Chaim is talking about that he has both esrogim in front of him. The question is which one to take first. The Beis Halevi's suffolk was, let's say, took the Dalaminim and then someone brings you a more mahudadik min. Is there any point to do it, to taking it again? Hamza Shuas Yaakov, he talks about a third case. Let's say a person is standing before Halach. And he has a set of Dalaminim. He could take the set that he has. But he thinks they're going to give him a set that's more Mahuda later. In another hour or two, they're going to bring him an Esu that's more Mahuda. So is it better for him to take the Dalaminim that he has, Yuzi Makdim and the Mitzvahs, let him take the Dalaminim, make the Bracha, say the Halal now? Or should he wait? Is it better to be Mamtin, to wait for the Esu Mahuda, to be out to the Mitzvah Dalaminim in a more Mahuda dicker way, Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar later? That's the shaila that the Shuas Yaakov is addressing. So he concludes that if he knows Bevada that he's going to get an Esrog Mahuda later, better to wait. Better to wait for the Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar later. It's quite a chiddush, right? To give up Mistama, he means to say that you're going to say the Halal B'tzibur now. What, he's going to say Halal later? It doesn't sound like that. But in terms of the Dalad Minim, don't pick up the Dalad Minim now. Because all you have is a basic set. You don't have the Mahuda, the cassette. Better to wait for the Dalad Minim until later. And the Bikur Yaakov shries Chai V'Kayim against him. He's very, very distressed. He says, why is that true? He says, Lulav is different than other mitzvahs. I know the Shvus Yaakov has all different rayas, Lamda Shirayas. The Gemara in Yevamis and in other places. The Gemara says that Shehuye Mitzvah Lo Mashina, we don't wait on a mitzvah. We do the mitzvah at the earliest possible time. Let's talk about Yibam and Chalitza. Do we wait for a katan to become a gadol? Because the Chalitza of a katan, the Yibam of a katan is not ideal. Chalitza of a katan might not even work. It's a machlokes and tanoim, but do we wait for the katan or not? So the Gemara says we don't wait. We tell the other brothers, you do Yibam, you do Chalitza now, don't wait for the katan. We're not Masha Mitzvah, the Shuas Yaakov says. Right? Normally we're not Masha Mitzvah. But here, There it's a suffik if it'll come to a mitzvah in a mukha later. So misafik we're not going to be mashim. But if bevada you'll come to a kiyum mitzvah later, a mitzvah in a mukha later, says the Shur Ziyachal, then we do wait. Don't bring me a raya from the Gemara Yevamos, from other, from the Teres Kohanim, about karbonos, of an oni and an osher. That's a suffik whether it'll come to a kiyum mitzvah later. But if you know bevada it's going to come to a kiyum mitzvah later, a mitzvah in a mukha, then avada you'll wait. So to that, the Bikur Yaakov says, no, but there's no point to wait. Because even if you did the mitzvah now with the Hallel, you can still fulfill the mitzvah later. He says, Lulav is different than every other mitzvah. Every other mitzvah, once you've done the mitzvah, it's over. So I can't do the Hiddur later. The mitzvah is over. But Lulav is different because I can fulfill the mitzvah multiple times during the day. So even if I've already fulfilled the mitzvah of Dalet Minim in conjunction with the Hallel, I can take another set of Dalet Minim, take a different Esrog later. I'll be Yotzei again. Yotzei again. What kind of a strange concept is that? Where does the Bikur Yaakov get this from? So he says the Raya is from Tosis and Daf Lamed Tes. All roads lead to Tosis and Daf Lamed Tes. That's what we keep on coming back to. What's he referring to? Tosis and Lamed Tes says what? Tosis is bothered. How can you make a bracha over Lasi Asan? You make a bracha on it, Tilasulav over Lasi Asan, but you've already picked up the Dalet Minim, you've been Yotzei the mitzvah. So the fourth day of Tosis is that no, it's over Lasi Asan of the Nanuim. Since you still have to shake the lulav, there's a gemar mitzvah, there's a shiurei mitzvah that you've left over, so it's still over lasiyosan of the nanuim. Says Tosis, and I'll bring you raya from the Anshe Yerushalayim. The minig of the Anshe Yerushalayim was that they would hold a lulav and esek in their hands the whole day. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of that? V'da'ag b'nafag, once you pick it up, you've been yotzis. What's the purpose of continuing to hold the dalet minim in your hand? Says Tosis, don't you see that it's a shiurei mitzvah? There's something more. What does that mean? That means that the more that they hold on to the lulav and esrog, they're mekayim another mitzvah. Yes, they were mekayim the mitzvah of dalet minim, the agvein of agvein. But the more they hold on to the lulav and esrog, there are extra kiyumim to the mitzvah. So there are extra kiyumim to the mitzvah. You can make a bracha over lasiyosan of the next kiyum. That's taisvis. Right? That's taisvis. So that's what the Bikur Yaakov was saying. That even if you have one mitzvah of Dalet Minim that we Yotzei, but there's no need to wait till you get the Esrog Mehudar. You'll be Yotzei later a new Maisa Mitzvah with the Hidda Mitzvah, with that Netila that you'll have with the Esrog later on. That's what the Bikur Yaakov wanted to suggest. So we thought maybe that's the answer for the Ksav Sofer and the Chasam Sofer. That they felt that the reason why here you can do the Hidda Mitzvah even after you've taken the esrog that's valid kosher is because by lulav, every time you pick up a lulav and esrog, there's a new kiyum mitzvah. There's a different kiyum mitzvah. So, albeit the hidda mitzvah is not going to be in the first maisa, but it'll be in the second maisa. And that's fine because the chiddush of the Bikur Yaakov is that you can be mekayim the mitzvah and the tilos lulav multiple times during one day. So you can have a hidder in the second maisa mitzvah, even if you won't have a hidder in the first maisa mitzvah. What's the Chaim going to respond? The answer to Reb Chaim is very poshut. Reb Chaim would say there's no raya from Tosis at all. Right? The minig of the Anshe Yerushalayim was not that they felt that every subsequent netila is a new maisa mitzvah, but rather they felt that if you mamshich the first netila, if you marich the first netila, you extend the first netila, then that's a continuing, right? A mitzvah nushachas, it's a continuing kiyum mitzvah. They never said that you can do a different netila and be mekayim the mitzvah. Once you put down the lulav and esrog, forget about it. We talked about whether if you put it down the tzorech and asiyas kapayim for kriyas haTorah, maybe that's different. But once you put it down, not the tzorech because you have to put it down, but you just don't put it down, so then you can't do another netila. If you pick it up again, it's a new netila, and that's not a new mitzvah. If you mamshich the netila, then it works as a hamshich of the original maisa netila, and that bama seems to be what Taisus says. Because Tosis is trying to bring a raya to the Nanuim, that Nanuim is still a part of the mitzvah. Tosis seems to be saying that it's all a hemshech. It's a mitzvah min amuvcher, what the Anshe Yerushalayim were doing. Not an extra mitzvah, it's a mitzvah min amuvcher. They were mahadeh, the original netila. Not that there's a new mice netila. So Parshat Pshat is not like the Bikur Yaakov, more like the Shavuos Yaakov. Right, that the minhag of the Anshe Yerushalayim is not a raya that you can have multiple netilas in one day. No, it's that if you want to extend the original maisa netila, then you have further kiyumim. But once you put it down, or if you're going to get a new esrog, there's no point. Once you do the first netila and you yotze to the mitzvah, there's no point to do a hidda mitzvah afterwards. Okay, this is the back and forth between Reb Chaim and the Chasam Sofer as to whether there could be a hidden mitzvah in an extra maisa netila of the dalad min. Yes.
According to Bar Yaakov, you make a second bracha when you did it the second time, or
so. I think the Meiri says on the Anshi Yerushalayim that the minig is to make a bracha only once. Even though you're doing different maisim, you don't make a bracha multiple times. Maybe the answer is that who says we follow the minig of the Anshi Yerushalayim? Maybe the Anshi Yerushalayim themselves would make a bracha. It's unclear. But the lashon of the Meiri is that we only make a bracha once. That's what he says. Yes.
Don't we nowadays make a bracha in the sukkah in the morning and then they get by halal?
No. You make a bracha once. If you make a bracha on the lulav and esrog in the sukkah, then that's the only time you make a bracha. Then you'll pick up the lulav and esrog before challah, but you will not make another bracha. You know, we assume that you only make a bracha once. The question we still have to address is the second point, and that is, okay, now we understand Reb Chaim and the Chasam Sofer. What's the nature of hidden mitzvah over here? Right? Is hidden mitzvah, can hidden mitzvah be disconnected from the ikar mitzvah? And is there any point to have a second maisa netila of dalad minim once you have the first maisa netila? To do hither with the second maisa netila. But the question begs itself, albeit the Chasam Sofer argues against Reb Chaim and he says you can have a hither mitzvah disconnected from the first maisa netila, but why did he do that? Why didn't he just take the Esrog Mehuda first? Why didn't he just take the Esrog Mehuda first and then he wouldn't have a problem? That was Daniel's kasha. So Daniel wanted to suggest that maybe the Chasam Sofer felt that there would be a hefsek in bracha. This is what Rav Tzipa Safrank in the Mekorei Kodesh points out as well. That some ask against Reb Chaim, how could Reb Chaim do it? Isn't it a hefsek in the bracha? Hefsek in the bracha? What do you mean hefsek in the bracha? That if it turns out that the Esrog Mehuda was possible, so then the real Esrog is the second Esrog. You make a bracha on the Dalad Mina before you pick up the Mina, before you pick up the Luvan Esrog. But your first Maisa Netila is not going to work with the Bracha. Your Bracha really has to be Mitzuref to the second Maisa Netila. So the first Maisa Netila is a hefsek between the real Maisa Netila of Dalaminim and the Bracha. So that should be a problem. Moshe Lekach, Ritzi Pesach Frank quotes from the Rashi and Erevin. Very interesting case. Rashi and Erevin talks about the Gemara there, discusses Maisa Behema, right? The Parshas B'Chokosai. At the very end, the Torah talks about Maisa Behema, that when a person, if a farmer has he has different animals that are born in his Eder, right? So he has to bring Maisa Behema. That means he counts his animals, counts them 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. And then when he gets to the 10, so he puts a sign, he puts like a little sikra, he hits it with a stick and it paints it, so then he knows what's Maisa Behema. That's the Maisa Behema, that's the 10th of his behemos, and he does this once a year. It's supposed to be ma'as from one year on the next. How do you determine the year? So that's the mission in Rosh Hashanah at the beginning. What determines the year for Maisa Behema? So you count the behemas, and the tenth one is Maisa Behema. So the case that the Gemara in Erevin is talking about is what happens if two animals come out at the same time? The tenth animal. You have 10 and 11 coming out at the same time, and you just say, as they both come out, Asiri, that they're the 10th. So now, things are mixed up. We don't know which one is the 10th, because they both came out simultaneously. Okay, they can't be simultaneous, but for you it's simultaneous. You can't tell the difference. Even though, you know, it's Yefshel at some same, you don't know exactly. One must have come out a little bit before the other. But for you, you don't know which one is which. So basically, you have Meiser and Shlomim mixed up. The halacha is that if it's a Suffolk, Meiser Behemoth has a din of Shlomim, right? The Achadasar, you're Maktish. You basically said it's Maisa Behemah. They're both together. So the halacha is one is Maisa, the other is Shlomo, but it's a Savik. Which one is which? What's the difference? They're both Nikra on the Mizbeach. So the answer is there's a big difference. There are certain things that are done for the Shlomo that are not done for the Maisa Behemah. The Mashal, Tnufa and Smicha. Leaning on the animal, Smicha, and Tnufa waving it. Tnufa's Chose Bishok, taking parts of the animal and waving them. Moluch Umevi, Mala Umori, just like the Lulav and Esrog. We do that with Shlomo, but we don't do Maisa. So says Rashi, in this case where Yatsu Shnayim Ba'asiri, Ukro and Asiri, you call them both Asiri, so then Maisa and Shlomo are Ma'ur of Zebozan, right? The 10th and the 11th animals are Ma'urav and Zebozan. You don't know which one is Maisa, which one is Shlomo, so you got to do Smicha and Tenufa on both of them. But says Rashi, V'libi Omer Li, I think that you don't make a bracha on the Tenufa and the Smicha. No bother. You can't. You gotta do it misafik. It says Rashi, "V'libi omer deinam b'varich alatunuf ma'vi alasmichot lo lehevi bracha levatala." Bracha levatala. We don't know which one the bracha is going on. So if it turns out that the first animal was ma'aseh behema and not shlamim, so then there's a hefsek in the bracha between the bracha and the actual ma'aseh tunuf and smicha, because the ma'aseh tunuf and smicha is really for the second animal, for the shlamim, not for the ma'aseh behema. So it says Rashi, don't make a bracha. Dr. Tzipasach Frank, don't you see that if you're going to do two ma'asim, you don't know which one is really the kiyum mitzvah? Then there's a problem with the bracha. And there's a problem with the bracha, because there's a suffix hefsek in the bracha, between the bracha and the actual mitzvah. So bishlam by tzuf and smicha, you'll be machmer to do the tzuf and smicha, but you won't make a bracha. But here we want to make a bracha on the lulav and eser. Why should we lose the opportunity to make the bracha on the lulav just to get the hidden mitzvah? Right? So that's the kasha that they asked against Reb Chaim. How could Reb Chaim say take the mehuda first? We know why Reb Chaim wanted to do that, because he says if I don't take the mehuda first, then I can't be yotzei hidden mitzvah. But you're jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Maybe you'll be yotzei hidden mitzvah, but maybe you won't be yotzei anything. And if you're not yotzei anything, then it turns out that your bracha is disconnected from the ma'aseh mitzvah, because your real ma'aseh mitzvah is when you pick up the esrog that's valid kosher later. That's not so mehuda. So why pick up the esrog mehuda now and then put yourself into a situation of a suffek bracha levatala? Be yotzei the mitzvah, not behider. Take the esrog that's valid kosher, then you won't have a problem with the bracha. Stach a pella, Reb Chaim is a pella. So someone suggests maybe that's why the Chasam Sofer didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to take the esrog tzvadei mehuda. Yeah, it's great to be yotzei hidden mitzvah, but not at the expense of a suffek bracha levatala. A suffek that there's going to be a hefzik between the bracha and the real ma'aseh netilah of the alamin. So maybe that's why the Chasam Sofer said better to do the other way. Aye, but you're not going to be yotzei hidden mitzvah that way. No, the Chasam Sofer says you can be yotzei hidden mitzvah that way, because you'll have another ma'aseh netilah, and the Chasam Sofer perhaps is assuming like those mefarshim who say that you can be mekayim the mitzvah of Dalamina multiple times by day. So even if the hiddur is not going to be on the first ma'aseh tefillah, it'll be on the second. But the reason why he felt compelled to say that is because he couldn't fathom that you should take the esrog mehuda first, because if you do that, then it might be a problem, a suffik hefsik in the bracha. And that's a more serious problem. He wasn't willing to give up on that problem, to put himself into that suffik in order to be mekayim the concept of hidden mitzvah, because he said you can be mekayim hidden mitzvah anyway. So that's why the Chasam Sofer took the esrog as vade kosher first. Yes?
But if you can pick up the meaning, what's the problem?
But Tzipasach Frank goes one step further and he says, so taka Reb Chaim Mishver. We got to go back and forth. How to figure out, you know, to be miyashe vichita. Isn't there a halacha that you can take the dalamin mizrach hazeh? Like that's what I meant when I said that this sugya, Reb Chaim's whole discussion, relates back to everything we've been talking about. Tosas on Lamakes and Bezach HaZeh, that the whole week's worth of Shiurim come to the fore. Right? They come into play. We know that Big Machlokas Rishonim, whether you can take the Dalavin and Bezach HaZeh. We paskin like the Bahag, that the Dieved, you can take the Bezach HaZeh. That's how the Rosh paskin and the Rambam, whole group of the Ramban also. So we paskin that you can take the minim bezach hazeh. So some wanted to suggest that's why Reb Chaim felt that there's no problem over here. That when you pick up the lulav and esrog, what are you doing? You're at least yotzei the bracha for the lulav, because you're not going to change the lulav. You're just going to pick up a different esrog later. So picking up the second esrog later is not a new ma'aseh netilah. It's really part of the ma'aseh netilah of the original lulav, because it's bezach hazeh. It's bezach hazeh. Is it Gora from Bezach HaZeh? No. So you had a problem against Reb Chaim that what's he doing? He wants to be Yotzei Hidden Mitzvah because he holds that Hidden Mitzvah below Mitzvah, lo Shamanu. There has to be connected to the Ma'aseh Netilah. And Reb Chaim holds you can't be Yotzei Dalet Minim multiple times during the day. So your Ma'aseh Netilah is defined as the first time you pick up the Lulav and Esrog. That's the Iker. That's the Ma'aseh Mitzvah. Your Hidder has to be connected to that Ma'aseh Mitzvah. So we were troubled. We were troubled. How can Reb Chaim put himself into a situation where now there's a suffek whether the bracha is going to be chal on the mitzvah? The answer is pashut. Of course it's going to be chal on the mitzvah. Because picking up the second esrog is no worse, l'chora, than picking up the dalamina b'zerach hazeh. So if you can pick up a lula, put it down. Pick up an esrog, put it down. Pick up a hadas, a rova, put it down. Right? If you can do it b'zerach hazeh and b'yotze, so you could do it like this too. You pick up the lula of an esrog, then put the esrog down. Pick up another esrog. You're going to pick up hadasim. Well, okay, you pick up all four minim first, but you still can pick up the esrog, and it's part of the same netila because it's a netila b'zerach hazeh, right? Reb Chaim's sitting pretty again. Sam.
According to that, then it doesn't matter. Reb Chaim's order doesn't matter because the second netila, the second esrog is being taken as part of the mitzvah, as part of the mitzvah of the dalam minim. So even if you took the badai kasher first, then the second one, which is
aizen the kasher. According to this, so if Reb Chaim is assuming that you can be yotzei b'netila b'zerach hazeh, so then it doesn't matter what the order is. If you can use such a concept, so then it mamish doesn't matter because everything is mitzuruf to one netila. That's kasha number one. But there's another kasha. It is true that netila b'zerach hazeh works, but what's the caveat that the Rambam added? What can't you do between the minim? You can't speak. You can't be mafsik. Why? Because the reason why netila b'zerach hazeh works is not because you don't need a tzirah between the minim. As we were confused by the lashon of the Ritva, it's not that the Ritva means you don't really need a tzirah. The Ramban holds you don't need a tzirah. That's why he says that they don't even have to be b'shusa. But all the other Rishonim hold that you do need a tzirah. Just you don't need a tzirah of gum. You need some kind of a tzirah. It has to be b'shusa. It has to be b'fonav. You need some kind of a tzirah. It says the Ramah, if you're going to be mafsik, bedibur, between the minim, that's going to break the tzirif. So you can't do that. Whenever there's a halacha that you can't be mafsik, bedibur, is it worse or better to be mafsik with a mice? It's worse. Dibur is not always as bad as a mice. If you do a mice is more significant than dibur. So, how does b'zerach hazeh solve any problem? Just because you can take the dalam minim b'zerach hazeh, Nochamo. If we assume that the first esrig is pasul, right? If klap b'shmaya gaya turns out that the esrig mahudr was pasul, so then you have a maisa of an etilas esrig between your bracha, or between the other minim and your esrig hakasha. So that should be mafsik between the minim. So if you assume that you need a tzirah between the minim, you haven't solved any problem. Reb Chaim is really a pallet. It's a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Because he seems to be assuming that if you go with this idea of netila b'zerach hazeh, which Rutzipas Afraim says, that's what the Briski Rav said. That's how he explained his father's minik. The Briski Rav should know. Right? The Briski Rav seemed to say that my father was relying on the fact that you can take the dalet minim b'zerach hazeh. So therefore, even if you take the esrog hakosha later, even if klap b'shmaya gai, the esrog mahuda that you took first was posel, but the second esrog is kosher, it's still okay because it's no worse than a netila b'zerach hazeh. So first of all, Sam says if you're lying on a netila b'zerach hazeh, so then it doesn't matter what your order is; it's all one mice and netila. But what's even worse is that the Ramah says you're not supposed to be soch between the minim; you can't be mafsik between the minim. And if you're going to do a maisa netila of an esrog posel between the minim, lechara, that's the biggest hefsek. And lechara hefsek gadol mizeh. So how's Reb Chaim solving this problem? Both shittas seem to be assuming certain chidushim. That's basically what I'm trying to point out. That you can follow either approach, but either way, you're going to have to be assuming certain things. The Chasam Sofer is assuming that you can have multiple maisa netilas during the day. You can be out to the mitzvah of dalamini multiple times during the day. And your hiddah can be in the second netilah, even if it's not in the first netilah. That's quite a big assumption. Right? That's in the Meiri's understanding of the minhag of the Yom Yerushalayim is that you can do the mitzvah of dalamini multiple times a day. But not everyone holds like that. That's what the Chasam Sofer is assuming. Reb Chaim is assuming, on the other hand, that you can take the lulav v'nesek b'zerach hazeh, and since you can do that, then I don't care about the hefsek in the bracha, because it's not going to be a hefsek in the bracha. Since the bracha is chal, and until I finish with the last esrig, my mais netila is not complete. It's highly questionable, because it could be a hefsek of the esrig. The first esrig will be mafsik between the real esrig and the other minim. And secondly, if you assume like that, so then why should the order matter, Bichlal? Daniel.
I try to answer the order question.
Yes, please.
Couldn't you say that the order doesn't matter, but once you've fulfilled the mitzvah, it's over? As in, yeah, you could take it as achar zeh, but once you've taken all four, it's over. And therefore, once you've taken the vada kosher etrog, it's over. And therefore, if you took the mahudar one, it wouldn't matter anymore. And the question was, oh, if you can take it achar zeh, so then it doesn't really matter what.
Sam's kasha.
Yeah, for Sam's kasha.
Sam's kasha is not so difficult, you're saying.
No, it's the same. It's the same case.
Once you fulfill the mitzvah, it's over.
Then it's done. So then I hear that. That's a good time.
It's achar zeh until you. But then you've
read
the mitzvah.
I hear you. That's a good answer, Daniel. Yeah.
And then
it's a good answer to Sam's kasha. But my kasha is still shver.
The other one.
I shouldn't say my kasha. Rutsipas of Frank's kasha is still shver.
Is it possible to argue there's a difference how the hefsik is done? Like, we talk about hefsik between things, but what about, can you have hefsik while you're performing the mitzvah? Because here, the hefsik is occurring during the performance of the mitzvah itself. It's not you shook the lulav and then the hadassim, and then you took, and then you stopped, and then you took the safek kosher etrog, and then you took the kosher etrog. It's that you're taking the safek kosher while you're doing part of the mitzvah itself. So there's no safek in between any points. It's while you're actually doing the mitzvah is when the safek is when the hefsik is occurring.
You're assuming he's holding onto the lulav.
I mean, it seems the basis of the question is that you're shaking the lulav and the lulav
right.
etrog.
But once you picked up the lulav, then the chalak of netilas lulav is over. The chalak of the lulav is over.
But if you lift it up with the etrog, and then you, so is it a hefsik if you're shaking the safek etrog while you're doing the mitzvah?
You're saying because it's all one maisa.
Yeah, it's not
all
a maisa
one
maisa. Hefsik. It's maisa with the hefsik together.
But you're still doing something extraneous. Now you're putting down. Well, maybe not the picking up, but the putting down of the etrog is certainly a hefsik, no? Putting down the of the esrig, then to pick up the other esrig. Why is that not called a hefsik?
Maybe putting down to pick up that.
Because it's in the same act.
You didn't do a hefsik with the mitzvah, and then you had to basically to get the esrig to do the mitzvah with. It wasn't a hefsik to go put down the other esrig. You really needed to put down the other esrig to pick up the kosher esrig.
But you picked up something extraneous in the interim.
Right.
If you pick up an apple, let's say you pick up three minim with an apple, and then you put the apple down, pick up an esrig. That's not a hefsik.
Well, you pick
I don't know if the hefsik might be a baltosif. Maybe argue if it's like baltosif or something.
No. Let's say I don't want to be yotze the mitzvah with the apple, but I'm a lamdin. You know, I went to the Jews of Anshiyurim and now I'm a lamdin, so I want to do something interesting so that people will ask me and I'll have something to talk about at my suda. It's a poor excuse. So he picks up the apple. Is that called a hefsik? I can hear someone saying it might be a hefsik. Why?
Well, if you're picking it up with the lulav, though, I think what he's trying to say, if you're picking up with the lulav, so then. It's not you're doing the mitzvah at least of the lulav. So if you have the zeh or zeh, that's still something that you can do. So while if you're picking up the apple and lulav at the same time, you're doing a mitzvah. You might be doing something extraneous on the side, but you're not doing it separately or in between your
right.
mitzvah. And then when you go down to get the esrog afterwards, by putting it down, it's not a hefsik. It's necessary to do your mitzvah.
Right. I hear you.
It's a question of what hefsik.
You're saying you're not doing an extraneous maisa, not while performing the mitzvah. The maisa that you're doing is at the same time, right? At
you
the same time that you're actually doing part of a maisa netilah.
No, I hear you. That's the question. Yeah,
it's a good
hefsik. It's a break or it's performance. There's something
right.
It's not part of the mitzvah.
Right. I hear you. I hear you. It's a good time, Josh.
No, I was going to say I think it was just covered. But is there any idea that if you're doing something that's a maisa that's related to the mitzvah, it's not a hefsik?
So what are you doing over here? You're picking up a lulav.
Right.
You're saying if you're doing a maisa at the same time that is related to the mitzvah.
Mean this suffix.
Even though at the same time I'm doing something that is extraneous to the mitzvah, is that extraneous act going to be a hefsik? I don't know if you were to ask me, I'd say it is a pretty big hefsik because you're putting the apple together with the minim. You can have kavana from today till tomorrow that you don't want to be yosef the mitzvah, but it's an extraneous maisa to the mitzvah. So time is not a hefsik, right? Bezer chazer, time is not a hefsik between the minim. But to do something extraneous, I could be doing the mitzvah and I'm doing something extraneous, why would that not be called a hefsik, yes?
What did you say about the Anshei Yerushalayim that throughout the day they would put it down and do all the mitzvahs, we said that's not a hefsik?
That's only because they have to. We're suggesting it's only because they have to. Once they put it down, they wouldn't pick it up again. But if they really want to continue holding it and all they're doing is Nesias Kapayim and they can't hold a little of an esrog, right? So then the chor they could continue holding. But once they put it down, they put it down. But here you're doing something extraneous that's unrelated to the mitzvah of Dan Lamina. Eitan?
Didn't we have in the Gemara that that if we don't have an esrog, so we don't take another min instead, it's like esrog or nothing?
The Gemara and Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Kedesh lo teshtakach toros lulav, maybe we would take, right, Lo yavi lo parish lo rimu. We might bring yavesh, but we're not going to take another minute. Yes.
So can we say that it's a din, like the fact that it's a suffig esrog? Because the suffig esrog is clearly not going to be the same as an apple. Meaning an apple is not allowed to be brought. That would for sure be a suffig. And we see that from the halacha. Because the halacha is saying that if I bring over my lulav and something and an arim rimu, that doesn't work. That's not good. I shouldn't bring that.
You're saying it's a tzorech for the mitzvah? The reality is if klapishmaya galia, if it turns out that this suffig esrog is puzzle, it's no different than a rimu.
But
you just don't know, so that's why it's kedai to do. The other thing is, if you bring a rimon, so people are going to think the wrong thoughts. They'll think that maybe you could bring a rimon in the future. That's why you shouldn't bring a rimon. But a suffolk esrog, no one knows. No one knows whether it's an esrog or not. It looks like an esrog. It smells like an esrog, right? It just, you know, might not be an esrog. It could be a lemon.
Why would it be mafsik if it was?
It would be mafsik if it turns out that it's possible. You will never know whether it's possible, perhaps. But if it is possible, then it turns out that you were mafsik in the mitzvah. So that's the question, whether you can make a bracha in such a way that you're putting yourself into a situation where there might be a hafsik in the bracha. Rashi and Erevin seems to say that you shouldn't make a bracha in that case. So that's the question, if you could do a netila b'zer chazeh, is that really a hafsik? Or better yet, since I'm doing it as part of the netila of the lulav, is that called a hafsik? That's what the Talmidim are pilpling over here. Sam, yes?
How come we're saying this is only a libo to the ritva, but Reb Chaim's a Rambam man who just needs a tziruf called the hill, so this is enough of a tziruf.
No, but the Rambam would not agree to the Ramah that if you saw bein time it would be a problem. The only one who disagreed with that was the Ramban. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha quotes from the ritva that you don't need a tziruf, and therefore even if you saw bein time it's okay. Mishnah Berurah says that's the Ramban, but everyone else assumes that you need some kind of a tziruf. Once you say you need a tziruf, l'chora, if you're mafsik, that should be a problem. Mafsik is not just that it's the lechatchila. The Ramah seems to say if you're mafsik, you got to start all over again. Pick up the lulav again. Because once there's no tziruf between them, then you've lost the whole mitzvah. So that's the question over here. Is this a hafsik or is this not a hafsik? It's happening at the same time that you pick up the other meaning. So is this called an extraneous maisa? And then you're putting it down to pick up the hafsik. Is that really called a hafsik? Not called a hafsik. Reb Chaim apparently assumed it's not a hafsik. That's what you have to say. Reb Chaim apparently assumed it's not a hafsik because you are involved in the mitzvah. You're picking up something, meaning. And the fact that you're putting it down to pick up another esrig, so that's not a hafsik because that's litzara to pick up the next esrig. So maybe apparently he assumed that it's not called a hafsik. So that's why he said better to pick up the esrig mehuda first so that you'll definitely get the concept of hidden mitzvah. Yeah. Okay, Josh.
Just out of curiosity, what type of, is it a specific type of psul that we're talking about?
Morkov, esrog hamorkov. That we didn't know, the esrogim from Corfu were not watched, and they were a little bit stronger. Esrogim in Eretz Yisrael used to be much weaker. Now they already learned how to do it, they learned how to tend to the esrogim tree, so they're a lot better. Used to be, you know, when I was in Eretz Yisrael to learn for a few years, the esrogim there were very very shvach. They weren't yellow, and they were, you know, the giddel was off. You know, there were a lot of things about it that were bad. Now they're already a lot better. But the esrogim in Corfu apparently looked a lot better. They were much more mehuda, but the question was, did someone graft the tree? Make it look better? That was the shaila. So this is the question back and forth that the poskim have. What's the better thing to do? Yes.
Did the Ramban ever have an answer as to why he, like, even though he doesn't need a tziruf, there's no hafsik in case of the Ramban, where he says you can do it like the entire day? Like, what would he say?
What's the din of tkiya shofar? Gemara says shama teisha tkiyos v'teisha shos b'yom yotze. That as long as you hear nine tkiyos, nine blowings, I should really say, three truas with a tkiya before and a tkiya after, that's enough. Even if you're mafsik in time, so apparently it's not a problem to be mafsik in time. As long as you hear the tchios, that's okay. I wouldn't make a bracha if I plan on being mafsik, but the halacha by tchios shofar is that it's not necessary for there to be a tziruf between all the different kolos. And it's from that that the Ritva says that you can even be mafsik between the minim of the lulav as well, right? Between the dalad minim. Again, for bracha, maybe I wouldn't do that. Maybe it's better not to be mafsik, but in terms of the mitzvah, you can be yotze, because he assumes that if there's no tziruf, then even if you're mafsik in time, or if you're mafsik in Hebrew, it shouldn't be a problem. Okay, this concludes the discussion of the minig Reb Chaim had with the Esrog Mehuda. We have a little bit more time left, so maybe we'll We'll try to do the first segment of the next topic. Even though this is not the first sugya in the fourth parak that we're going to deal with, we're actually going to get back to an earlier sugya. This is on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. But I figured since we talked about Tosfos on Daf Lamed Tes, maybe we'll put this sugya first and then we'll get back to Simchas Yom Tov, to some other topics. The Gemara in Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph is talking about when we make the bracha on the mitzvah yeshiva b'sukkah. So this issue of when to make the bracha relates to two different points. One is, how close does the bracha have to be to the kiyum mitzvah, which is what we discussed before, right? How close it's supposed to be over las yasah, but not over the over. So what is that when it comes to the context of sukkah? But it also relates to another question, and that is, what's the nature of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? We have to pinpoint exactly when you yotze the mitzvah of sukkah, and that will determine what is over las yasah and what is over the over las yasah. So this, of course, as you realize, relates back to Tosfos and Daf Lamed Tes, but it's going to relate to the nature of the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah as well. What does the Gemara say? Gemara Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph quotes a brice. This is the Gemara Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph towards the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, ha'usa sukkah la'atma omer baruch shechiyonu. Someone who makes a sukkah, even before the zman of Yom Tov, it's close to Yom Tov, you can make a Shechiyonu on the Sukkah, you don't have to make a Shechiyonu on the Leishiv. Nichnas Leishiv Ba, Omer Baruch HaShem G'shamim V'sosa V'sivanu Leishiv HaSukkah. That's when you make a Leishiv HaSukkah, if you make the Shechiyonu before. Omer Ravashi, skipping a little bit, Chazina Leilei Rav Kana, Dekamalu Lekulu HaKosu Dekidusha. Ravashi says, I saw Rav Kana put all the brachas, the Shechiyonu and the Leishiv HaSukkah, on Kosa the Kiddusha, on the Kiddush that he made on the first night. Okay, that's the Gemara. So from the words of the Gemara, you get the impression that one should make a bracha on the Sukkah every time that you come in to sit in the Sukkah. The Lashon of the Brayis is Nichnas Leishiv, but you come in to sit there. Leishiv normally means to sit. So the impression you get is that you should make a bracha of Leishiv HaSukkah every time you come into the Sukkah to sit. And that's what the Rambam says. Rambam in Hilchas Sukkah, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Beis, Kol Zman Sheyikoneis Leishev B'Sukkah Kol Shiva B'Varech Kodem Sheyeshev, etc. Rambam says that every time that you come in Leishev B'Sukkah Kol Shiva, you make a bracha of Leishev B'Sukkah. The Rambam doesn't really say anything significant. He just quotes the Lashon of the Brayis. It's not the Rambam's fault, it's the Brayis' fault. But many point out that the fact that the Lashon, that the Rambam picks up on the Lashon of the Braisa, he says, Kol Zman Sheyikoneis Leishiv B'Sukkah, the Lashon of the Rambam sounds like we're talking about yeshiva. You're coming in to sit in the Sukkah. So you make a Leishiv B'Sukkah before what? Before the yeshiva, before sitting. That's what the Rambam says. And the Rambam continues, therefore, on the first night of Yom Tov, what should you do? U'b'leila Yom Tov Rishon Mevarech Al HaSukkah V'achakach Al HaZman. You're making Kiddush the first night, you have to make a Shechiyonu, you make a Leishiv HaSukkah. Zot the Rambam, say Leishiv HaSukkah first, then say Shechiyonu. Nimtza, says the Rambam, Mekadesh Me'umad, who Mevarech Leishiv HaSukkah, V'yoshev, V'achakach Mevarech Al HaZman. The Rambam has a very complicated Kiddush over here, right? He makes the Bracha of Kiddush, Me'umad, the Rambam says, standing up. Then you make a Leishiv HaSukkah, then you sit down, then you make Shechiyonu. And then you dish out to whomever you're going to give, or you drink it yourself. The Rambam is very adamant. Even if you would say that the first lashon, the first line of the Rambam is not mashma necessarily, that the mitzvah is the yeshiva b'sukkah, and you have to make a bracha of leishiv b'sukkah before the yeshiva, it's clear from the hemshich in the Rambam that he holds that the bracha is on yeshiva, sitting in the sukkah. Because that's what he says, make kiddush, mu'umad, davka standing, make the leishiv b'sukkah, sit down, and then make Shechiyonu. Sounds clearly that the Leishiv HaSukkah is going on the yeshiva itself. What's also remarkable from the Rambam is that he's making a big deal out of the fact you should make Kiddush standing. So there are those who point out that it sounds from the Rambam that generally speaking it's better to sit for Kiddush. Better to sit for Kiddush. Don't make Kiddush standing. Dafka on the night of Sukkot, one should make Kiddush standing. Dafka on the night of Sukkot. But generally, you should make Kiddush sitting. Why do we make Kiddush sitting? What's Pshat there? So that's a major discussion. The Mechaber and the Ramah and Hilchas Shabbos talk about that. The Mechaber in Simin Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Yud Right. Va'omer vayichulu me'umad. And then bar piagofen and kiddush. Says the Rama, v'yocholama b'shasa kiddush. You can stand not only during vayichulu, but even during the kiddush itself, like the Mechaber seems to imply. Achakach omer bar piagofen v'achakach kiddush. It sounds like it's all me'umad. It says the Rama, v'yosa tov le'sheid. He quotes from the Kolbo that it's better to sit when you say kiddush. The Rama says better to sit. From the Mechaber, you get the impression that maybe you should stand, but from the Rama says better to sit. Why sit? So the Mishnah Berurah there in Sukkot and Memvav quotes on the Beis Yosef two different reasons why we should sit for kiddush. First of all, we know that kiddush has to be b'makom suda. Kiddush has to be in conjunction with the suda. V'karasa l'shabbos oneg, b'makom oneg. Shamtei Kriya. Right? You're supposed to have the Kriya b'makom oneg. So kiddush b'makom suda is a requirement. Midrabbanan, presumably. It's the Pashup Shat. Some hold it's the Raisa, but it's the Pashup Shat is the Rabbanan. I mean, that Pashuk is a Pashuk in Sefer Yeshayah. Well, you should say it's Midivri Kabbalah. The kids and most of the Rishonim said that it's only Midrabbanan. So says the Kolbo, if you need kiddush b'makom suda, then you have to be sitting. It's not called kiddush b'makom suda if you're not sitting. L'chatchila, it's best to do it like that. The Beis Yosef says, no, maybe it's kiddush b'makom suda if they roll around the table. They shouldn't be running around, but if they roll around the table, maybe that's also called kiddush b'makom suda. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the second reason why everyone has to sit for kiddush. Because to be motzi everyone in kiddush, the Gemara actually has in Brachas the idea that maybe everyone has to do heseba. They have to recline together. The minig at the time of the Gemara was to recline when one ate. So the way that you establish a kvius, a connection between all the people, the motzi and the yotzei, in the bracha, is by everyone reclining together. So, we don't recline when we eat, but the assumption is that sitting is instead of heseba. So, mistama, to be able to be motzi other people, you have to sit down. So, according to that reason, if I'm not being motzi anyone else, I don't have to sit down, I can stand up. But if I'm being motzi someone, perhaps it's better to sit down in order to be motzi, be yeshiva, because that's like heseba. But to that, the Beis Yosef also says that there are Rishonim who claim that as long as everyone is standing around the table, b'kvius, you can emotzi them too. You emotzi in that way as well. So the Beis Yosef concludes it's not necessary. And that's why to say Eidus vayichulu, it's better to stand. Eidim always stand, so he says it's better to stand. Once you're standing, you can stand for kiddush. You can emotzi other people that way. And you can have kiddush makom suda standing. So there are different minhagim. Some stand and some sit. Some stand and some sit. But one thing I can tell you is one should not be walking around. Right? Even the Shulchan Aruch would say, if you're walking around, you're going to lose everything. Because it might not be Kiddush Makom Suda, and you might not be able to be Yotze from the Motzi, from the Mekadesh. So one thing I can say is don't be, you know, people like to move around, like, fix this and fix that. But stand in your place. Stand in your place. That's how you can get Kiddush Makom Suda, and you can be Yotze from the Mekadesh. But it sounds like from the Rambam that Sukkis is different. The Rambam is willing to be Mekil in Kiddush Makom Suda and being Yotze. L'chatchila, maybe he says it's better to sit, but he's willing to be Mekil because when it comes to the Baruch of Leishim HaSukkah, it has to be done dafka before you sit. So that's why the Rambam says when it comes to Sukkis, you should taka make Kiddush standing. Dafka make Kiddush standing. I saw a hand up. This is the sheet of the Rambam. The Leishah Basukah is on the yeshiva, it's on the sitting. So he says, Yudavka should make kiddush standing, because you have to, even if you're not making kiddush, you have to recite the bracha before you sit down. Nichnas Leishah, you're standing up, you come into the sukkah, you're standing up, the food's there, but you have to make the bracha before you sit, make the bracha, sit down, and then you can partake of the food. Yes. Tomorrow we're going to have to deal with the Rosh. The Rosh disagrees vehemently with the Rambam. And he says that Leishah Basukah doesn't mean to sit. Leishah Basukah doesn't mean to sit. What does it mean to do? Dwell. To dwell, to live, to be misakif, to spend time. That's what Leishah means. It doesn't mean to sit in the sukkah. It doesn't mean to sit in the sukkah. It means to dwell, to spend time in the sukkah. How can the Rambam say that yeshiva, what yeshiva is the mitzvah, to sit in the sukkah? The emes, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah shouldn't be yeshiva besukkah. I know the pasuk says besukkah teishu, but the mitzvah is not yeshiva besukkah. The mitzvah really should be knisa besukkah, entering into the sukkah. Aren't you yotze a mitzvah when you enter? But you're only yotze the mitzvah if you sit down in the sukkah. Could that be? Says the Rosh. The chora, the real time that you yotze according to the Rambam, should be the knisa. So make the bracha before you enter into the sukkah. What's the Rambam talking about? Did you make the bracha before yeshiva, before you sit down? Sitting down is nothing. It's just something you do in the sukkah, but either the dwelling in the sukkah is the mitzvah or entering into the sukkah is the mitzvah. So what's the Rambam saying? You make a bracha before yeshiva, before sitting down in the sukkah. What does he mean? Take a look at the Rosh. Look at the Beis Yosef and the Bach who deal with the Rambam, try to answer the kashas of the Rosh with the Rambam. And then we have to isolate what is really the machlokas, the Rosh and the Rambam. What is the Rosh disagreeing with the Rambam about? You'll see, if you look carefully at the Rosh, he's really disagreeing about two different things. There are two assumptions the Rosh is making. Isolate those assumptions, and Mitzvah tomorrow we'll try to talk about those points to make sense between the Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Rosh.